occasion, a time of great rejoicing in a palace. Okay? A great mighty king's palace. And there's just a party going on. Incredible rejoicing. And the reason for this rejoicing is because the king has finally given had a prince born to him. And the king is in his throne room, and near the throne, there's all of his advisors are gathered around him, and there's this kind of animated, lively conversation going on as his advisors are basically giving him suggestions as to the best way to announce this amazing event to everybody in the kingdom. And they've suggested some awesome ideas, just incredible, grand, elaborate ways to publicize and celebrate this great event. But finally, I want you to imagine, there's one advisor left. One guy who hasn't said anything. The king turns to him and says, "Well, what about you? What are your ideas here? What do you suggest?" "Well," came the reply, "this is what I think we should do. I think that we should send out a messenger at night out into the fields, and I think we should tell some shepherds about it." How do you think that suggestion is going to go over with the king? Yeah, that's ridiculous, right? Obviously, that's kind of amazing, ridiculous response. And yet, tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, that was exactly God's way of announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, one thing that Christmas reminds me of every single year, maybe it does some of you as well, is that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are His thoughts above ours. I want you guys to listen with me. I want to read to you some very familiar words. This is from the second chapter of Luke. If any of you have happened to watch a Charlie Brown Christmas thus far, you've heard a little boy by the name of Linus read these same words. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Now, how do you feel as you hear me read those words? Or maybe some of you, as you're following along in your Bibles, how do you feel as you read those words? I don't know about all of you, but somehow every time when I hear about the shepherds coming to the manger, seeing the Christ child, it makes me smile. Does it you too? It makes me feel warm inside. I mean, if shepherds are that important to God, doesn't that mean we're pretty important to God too? And that makes me feel great. God, the high and mighty King, loves the common, everyday people. God loves us. But that's not the only part of the Christmas story, is it? There's another part that's given to us in Scripture, and I want you to listen to that one too. These are some more familiar words. I don't think Linus ever read these ones, but I want you to hear them. This is from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, we all know this part of the story as well, do we not? You have nativity scenes. I suspect in your houses that have three little wise men and their camels, at least, right, in the nativity scene. Now, these wise men from the east could not have been more different than the lowly shepherds that we read about just a moment ago. But just like the shepherds, the story of the wise men is also a story of love and worship and adoration. But they represent the aristocracy of the time, right? The rich, the educated, the learned. And obviously, they were valuable to God as well. Whenever we think of the shepherds and the wise men, we invariably see in our mind's eye scenes of love and joy and worship. I think that's why they're included in every nativity scene. But guys, what do we see when an earthly king like King Herod enters the scene? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it worship? No. When we think of King Herod, we see darkness and hatred and death. A few verses later in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, we read this terrible statement. This is not a part of the Christmas story we like to probably focus or remember all that much, but it says, "When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men." Now, obviously, that's not a part of the Christmas story that makes us feel warm inside. There's quite the stark contrast here, isn't there, between Herod and the shepherds and the wise men. Why do people react like King Herod did to the birth of the Son of God? I wish I could tell you that he is the only one that ever reacted badly, wrongly, to the birth of Jesus Christ. But why do people react this way? Why are some people filled with love and happiness and joy, and others are filled with darkness and despair? I think there's some important things that we can learn, guys, from these contrasts that we see right here in this Christmas story. Contrast between the shepherds and the wise men and King Herod. Maybe if we look at a couple of them, maybe Christmas will mean even more to us than it already does. First of all, first contrast that I want us to think about is that I think that God chose to announce to the shepherds and to the wise men the wonderful news of the coming of Jesus into this world because they were prepared for that event. They were prepared for it. Somehow the soil of their heart had been plowed and made ready for that planting of the glorious news they were going to receive. I mean, think about it, guys. I don't know how, you know, well-versed you are in the world of shepherds, but who understood the idea of sacrifice better than shepherds? I mean, do you realize how close Bethlehem is to Jerusalem? You know, most of us probably don't necessarily have that picture in our mind, but it's just a couple miles. I think it's 4 miles exactly from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They're just separated by some hills. And guess what those hills were filled with? Shepherds and sheep. That's what existed between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And history tells us that many of the sheep that were raised on those hills between Jerusalem and Bethlehem were raised for a specific purpose, to be used as sacrifices in the temple at Jerusalem. That was their purpose. You see, once a year, every Jewish family, no matter where they lived in Israel, was supposed to come to Jerusalem, take a trip to Jerusalem, and offer a sacrifice for their sin in the temple there. And the animal that they generally would sacrifice, most of them anyway, was a lamb. Now, the ones who were traveling, they didn't bring the lamb with them, right? But they would come to Jerusalem and then they would buy a lamb there for the sacrifice. So these shepherds, they knew all about sacrifice, didn't they? They spent their lives on those hills outside of Bethlehem, watching little lambs born, watching them grow to maturity and realizing that someday a priest would come and buy them and take them back to the temple to offer as sacrifices for the sins of the people. They realized that sin was so awful in God's sight that it required the shedding of blood. It required the giving of life. So how appropriate that these shepherds would be the very first to hear about the Lamb of God who would be the Savior, Christ the Lord. They were ready for that. Their minds were uncomplicated. These weren't great theologians. They weren't thinking of reasons not to believe. They just believed. Their hearts and their souls were ready for Christmas. And when God spoke through those angels, they listened and they accepted the news with great joy. But guys, I want you also to realize that those wise men, they were prepared too. Evidently, they had studied the great prophets of Israel. Undoubtedly, they came from an area in the east, more than likely Persia, where Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, had incredible influence, incredible power. They may have even had some prophecies of Daniel that we don't even know about. But somehow they were waiting and hoping, weren't they? They were looking. And when they saw that bright light, when they saw that star shining, they knew that it meant something. They recalled all of the things that they'd learned, and then they were ready to make that long, hard journey. They didn't come down the block, okay? This was probably, at minimum, a six-month journey, maybe even longer. Why were they ready for that? Because they knew the star meant that somewhere a king had been born, and they wanted to worship him. So they too were prepared and ready for Christmas. Guys, was King Herod ready for Christmas? Have you ever wondered why Herod didn't care about the star? I mean, if it was bright enough for wise men to see it in their country, far to the east, it was certainly bright enough for Herod to see it. They even told Herod about the star, didn't they? I can't imagine they didn't take him outside and say, "See, look! Look at the star!" Why didn't Herod hear the announcement of the angels? Just a little stone's throw away in those hills between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Why didn't he see the heavens lit up that first Christmas night? He could have seen. He could have heard. But guys, he didn't have eyes to see. He didn't have ears to hear. You see, Christmas came to Herod. It did. Just as surely as it came to the wise men and to the shepherds. But Herod didn't know it because he wasn't prepared for it. You see, guys, if we resist Him, if we resist God, if we ignore what He has done through Jesus Christ, yeah, Christmas is going to come on December 25th, right? It's going to come in, 4 days? Just as it always does every single year. But it will mean almost nothing to us. And the reason is because our hearts are cold and insensitive to what God has done through Jesus Christ, His Son. Christmas is almost here. Are you prepared? I think is a good question. Now, I'm not asking if you got your shopping done. I'm asking, is your heart soft? Are your ears sensitive? Can you hear God telling you of His love for you through the birth of His Son in this world? But there's another contrast, another Christmas contrast that I want us to see here tonight. When they heard the message, the wise men and the shepherds, they were willing to step out and take a journey of faith, weren't they? I love the words of the shepherds. You may have noticed it when I read it there. Shortly after the angels, right, the angels go back into heaven. I guess the light level went back down, you know, to normal and what have you. And what did they say to each other? They said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Do you realize what that statement is? That is not just a statement of, "Hey, you want to go on a trip? Shall we go on a vacation?" That is a statement of faith, is what that is. They didn't say, "Hey guys, that was kind of weird what just happened. You want to head on over to Bethlehem and see if any of this is actually real?" That's not what they said, is it? They didn't question the message of God. They didn't question the announcement of the angels. They didn't sit around and think about all the impossibilities and how, humanly speaking, it just didn't make sense. No, they simply rushed to Bethlehem to see the baby they knew was already there. That was a journey of faith for them, wasn't it? But how about the wise men? Have you ever put yourself in their place? Have you ever thought about what it must have been like to be those guys? Right? Can you see them standing out in their front yards, I guess? Right? Loading up the camels? Right? Putting on all their, you know, the food and their clothes and the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. Right? So maybe a neighbor walks by and says, "Hey, man, where are you headed to?" And they say, "Well, we're getting ready for a trip." "Oh, really? Where are you going?" "Well, we're not entirely certain." "Well, surely you got a map or something, don't you?" "Well, no, actually, we're going to be following that star right over there." "Oh, really? Well, that's an interesting way of doing it. Well, what are you thinking you're going to find when you get there?" "Well, we're going to find a king." "Oh, really? Well, what's this king's name?" "We have no idea. We have no idea. All we know is that we've seen his star and we're going to follow it until it leads us to him, and then we're going to worship him." It was a journey of faith, wasn't it, guys? It was. And faith does not make sense to people who don't know the message and who don't share the faith. Which unfortunately brings us to King Herod, doesn't it? With King Herod, there was no faith. Oh, he heard the message from the wise men, right? The wise men, they came right into Herod's palace and they asked him, "Where is he who is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. We've seen it in the sky and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard that, how did he respond? What were we told? It says he was troubled. He was troubled. You can almost picture and go, "What? Another king? Where? Where's this other king at?" That's what's going on in his mind. And so quickly he calls all the chief priests, right? All of them, and they tell him what the prophets had foretold, that the Messiah, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. You know the story, right? Herod sends the wise men on. He had the opportunity to learn about the new king, but he did not have eyes of faith or a heart that believed. So while the king was born just a few miles away, he was not ready to receive him because there was no faith in his heart. That's a problem, isn't it? I mean, there is a whole lot about Christmas that can't be explained. How many of you have got a total handle on the whole virgin birth thing? Right? You can't explain the heavens lighting up and angels announcing the birth of a king. How often does that happen? You can't explain all of the drama and the glory and the wonder. Christmas is entirely divine. Despite what we sometimes have turned it into, it is divine. And it can only be understood with a heart and a mind of faith. Before Christmas will ever be real to us, guys, our journey must be a journey of faith also. We must realize that we will never completely understand the wonder of God's love except in faith that is ready to accept that love. One last Christmas contrast that I want to leave you with tonight. The wise men and the shepherds, they were willing to pay the price and to make a sacrifice, weren't they? I mean, think about the shepherds. Maybe we don't think of the shepherds in that way, but when they said, "Hey, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass," that was a major decision for them. Guys, when those shepherds went into Bethlehem, what remained behind? All their sheep. This was their job. This was their livelihood. These sheep depended on them. Everything they owned was wrapped up in those sheep. It was at night when the wolves would come and attack and kill the sheep. So it took faith. They had to say, "We're going to leave all of that behind to seek the Lamb of God. We'll trust our flock to the great shepherd who will take care of them." I've always believed, the Bible doesn't mention this, but I mean, it's just me. I've always believed that when they got back from Bethlehem, they found all their lambs safe and sound. And that from then on, God prospered them in ways they never even dreamed because they were willing to place everything in His hands. But you know, the wise men paid a price too. They left behind their families. They left behind their businesses. They left behind everything that was familiar and dear to them. And they left it all to follow a star, to travel to a strange and possibly dangerous journey just to pay homage to a new king and to give Him their very costly gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But not Herod. Herod learns about a king, and what does he do? It's almost like he rushes to his throne and wraps his arms around it and says, "No one's taken this from me. Where's this king? He'll take my prestige. He'll take my power. He'll take all my cool stuff." He wants to cling to all that is his because he's afraid he's going to lose it all. But guys, at the heart of it, Christmas is about surrender. I know in our day and age we've turned it into music and certain kinds of music and given presents and Christmas trees and movies about elves going to New York and things like that, right? Unfortunately, that's just the cultural, secular stuff. Christmas, the real story of Christmas, is about surrender. Christmas means that the sovereign God of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, whose throne is in heaven, who is master of all things, who created all things, looked down and saw us dying in our sin. And He said, "I cannot let this go on. I cannot leave them in this. Sure, they caused it. Yeah, they made the mess. But they can't clean it up. So I am going to do something about it." And He surrendered His glory and His power. He became a baby and walked among us. He breathed our dust. He let us persecute Him. He let us spit on Him and drive nails into His hands and His feet. That, guys, is surrender. That is sacrifice. Christmas means sacrifice. It means giving. Not just brightly wrapped gifts to people we love. That's great and that's wonderful. But giving ourselves to Him as He willingly gave Himself to us. Christmas contrasts. Right there in the stories that we've probably all heard 100 times or more. Some of us here tonight, some of you here tonight, you might be like the shepherds. You don't have much. Maybe you don't know a whole lot, at least what the world considers important. But you're ready to listen to what God has to say. You're ready. Others of us tonight, maybe we're a little bit more like the wise men. We're searching for truth. We're asking questions. We're knowing that His promise, if we will seek the truth with our whole heart, we will find Him. Unfortunately, and I wish our contrast stopped there, but unfortunately, there are many like Herod who are antagonistic toward God, who hate Him rather than love Him. And who will not receive the gift that God wants to give them through Jesus. And every year, it's one of the reasons why I think there's always so much conflict, it seems, surrounding Christmas. Because every year at Christmas time, this line is drawn. This line that we either accept the Son of God, the babe in the manger, the Savior on the cross who rose from the grave. Or we hate Him. we reject him. Here are people who are like shepherds and wise men coming to Jesus to worship. I know many of you, you're here tonight and that's your thought. You're here because you want to worship Jesus. And there are people like Herod who stand hard and cold, resisting everything that God is trying to do in their lives. My question for each of us here tonight is, which category do you fall into? We're not just here tonight to chit-chat about contrast between three different groups of people from 2,000 plus years ago. We're here to talk about, well, which one of those groups would you fall into? Which best represents you? And here's the good news, guys. There's good news. Christmas is all about good news. God wants to take all of the Herods and make them into shepherds and wise men. That's what God wants to do. That's why he sent his son into this world. But that can only happen when you are willing for it to happen. When you are prepared to receive his message, to receive his son. When you are willing to make that journey of faith. When you are willing to surrender to him. That first Christmas, an invitation of joy and love was extended to the whole world. That invitation is still extended to you this evening. Still, it's still yours. God invites you to come to his manger, to bow your knee before him, to come to his throne, to come to his cross, and to know his love that stands as a bright light in a very dark world. That is available to you tonight in this place. There are no hoops you have to jump through. There's no magic words. It's simply the surrender of your life to Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your King. And guys, it is that message, an invitation of Christmas love and joy, that not only am I sharing with you, but those of us here tonight who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have been called to share that message. We have been called. And so this part of the service, Tim, Jen, if you guys want to come on up, we remind ourselves of that very thing. We remind ourselves not only of the gift of Jesus, but we also remind ourselves of this calling, as we do each year at Christmas, by symbolizing the greatest Christmas gift that was ever given. The coming of the light of Jesus Christ into our dark and weary world. That is the purpose of a candlelight service. I don't know if